Welcome to Building Great Leaders with Dr. Les Olala.
Simple Christians living their apologetic by faith will put the world in the wrong, but it may take time, but you can't weaken.
On today's program, Dr. Olala focuses our attention on what the Scripture says about the essence of faith. This message was recorded in a conference in 2009. Building Great Leaders provides instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Our speaker, Dr. Les Olala, is the founder and director of Building Great Leaders and has been serving the Lord in full-time ministry for 50 years as a pastor, Bible college president, and evangelist. And now, the essence of faith.
Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5, by faith Enoch, translated that he should not see death, was not found because God had translated him. Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. That's quite an epitaph. He pleased God. Now there's a very jarring statement in verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. Without faith it is impossible to please him. Now we were created for God's pleasure, and yet we would ask ourselves the question, do we know faith? Do we walk by faith? I asked someone recently, when is the last time you took a step of faith? And he said, 25 years ago. And yet we can be very visible, very accepted, very appearing to be extremely abandoned to the cause of Christ, but be totally self-serving and ignoring God. Outside of our own abilities, we just, every once in a while, we'll glance at God when we get in a panic. But Enoch walked with God. He pleased God. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So two things were true. Enoch believed God, and Enoch was rewarded. God is, God rewards. Two key things that would summarize Enoch. Enoch, God is, God rewards. Now we see this illustrated, and we see by faith, this phrase by faith is a parenthesis on each end of verse 7. You see, verse 7 begins by faith, and verse 7 ends by faith. It's like I picture these as parentheses, but between these two parentheses of faith are five powerful truths regarding faith as illustrated in the life of Moses, of Noah. And so when we look at this, we realize that faith makes the Christian life a style of living, not a hobby. In other words, when you begin to walk by faith, it becomes your very lifestyle. It's not a side hobby. This is a very lifestyle. So let's look at this. By faith, Noah, now here's our character, here's our difference maker, being warned of God. So in this phrase, I see the word of God. I'm going to take the verbs in this verse. Warned of God. That was the basis of Noah's faith. What was the only thing that Noah had to go on in his generation? And so we find that God never had two plans of salvation. It was only one. It was always by grace. Now we see Noah being told the world was going to be destroyed by water, and he was told to build this ark. He had nothing to go on except the fact that God said it. He was not holding a Bible in his lap. He had the word of God given to him. He had nothing else. He had no scientific evidence. It had never happened before. And so what was the basis of Noah's faith? The basis of his faith was the word of God. And how can we overemphasize the word in our lives? You can organize and build and plan and work, But the basis of our faith is the Word of God. Romans 10, verse 17. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. We have not followed cunningly devised fables, Peter said. We're eyewitness of His Majesty. But he said, we have a more sure word of prophecy than having been eyewitnesses. We have indeed the very inspired Word of God as men of God, moved by God, recorded the truth of God. So what is the basis of our faith? It is the Word of God. God said it. And that settles it. Now let's bring it into our context. John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes unto the Father except by me. What is the basis of our faith? The Word of God. How do we function? How do you go with the gospel to various parts of the world? Jesus Christ is the only way. And not only that, judgment is coming. Hell is reality. How do we know that? By the Word of God. That's the basis of our faith. Secondly, let's go on. Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet. There's the next verb, moved with fear. In this I see worship. Worship has three different faces. And I think in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 29, we see all three faces of worship in one verse. And Jesus, in speaking, or God in speaking to Moses, said, oh, that there was such a heart in them that they would fear me. I think that is seeing the awesomeness of God. That they would keep my commandments. That face of fear is obedience to God's command. One is the awe of His character. The other is obedience to His commands, that it may be well with them and with their children forever. That is the consequence. One face of fear is seeing the awesomeness of our God. The other face of fear is obedience to the commands of God. The third face of fear is fear of the consequences of going against a God who is a holy God. And interesting to me, I believe, and I may be stretching that a bit, but I hope I'm not, in Deuteronomy 5:29, we see three aspects. In this context, Noah moved with fear. I don't think that Noah was moved with cowering fear. When God spoke to him, he hid as though he was afraid that God would attack him or beat him. I think when his God spoke, Noah had such a walk with his God, he had such a knowledge of his God, that when his God spoke, his heart was lifted in awe at the one who spoke. I believe that is the aspect that Noah instantly worshipped. David worshipped when the baby died. Lot, or Job, when he realized everything he had was gone, including his family, and said, and Job worshipped. In other words, God, you're an awesome God. And I think in this context that Noah was expressing the awesomeness of his character. And when God spoke, Noah worshipped his God in that setting. There's such a huge conflict over worship today. What is worship? The praise of it is by the redeemed, to the Redeemer, about the redemption. You see that culminated in Revelation. Worship is given by the redeemed, to the Redeemer, about the redemption. And when you see the millions and millions in Revelation chapter 5 and following, what the hearts are lifted up in praise and adoration to Him, we hold Him in awe. And yet some still dare to argue with the God who spoke, and what we see came into existence. Not only created by the Son, but sustained by the Son, according to Colossians. One is the basis of faith. The other is the expression of faith. Now we see the activity of faith. He prepared an ark 120 years in building. Was it that long? Did it take that long? Well, it could have. But I think more than the length of time that the ark was in building was the length of time that God's mercy was extended. I'm reading in the book of Jeremiah right now, and Jeremiah's prophecies were being given. And as God was giving Jeremiah the word, then in that message, God is given to Jeremiah. He said, Jeremiah, speak this. And it might be that they will hear and repent. And it might be that they will hear and repent. And it might be that they will hear and repent. Why did God not just instantly wipe out forbearance? Why am I not in hell? The forbearance of God. Everything, things are bad. If I wake up and I'm not in hell, everything is uphill from there. Because that's what I deserve. Because I was born going away from God. I was under the wrath of God. And yet God in His grace and mercy. So in this work, there was an activity of faith that was going on. An action of faith. It's called work, 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 work. That's the activity of faith. And Noah went to activity of faith. How are we working? And it's not just one or two. You say, well, the church staff needs to work. No, I'm talking about every single man in this body of believers taking up the concept that I must work to see this ministry go forward. And to some of you, work might be in a hands-on situation. Others work if you may be phone calls. Others work if you may be door knocking. Others work if you may be taking somebody who is a new convert under your wing and nurturing that new convert to another step, because it is absolute work to invest in the lives of people. It is work. It really is. Discipleship is hard work. Maybe at this time when the facilities are built, now the next focus of our work has to be taking and putting our work efforts into the lives of unsaved and new converts to nurture them to another step of growth and another step of faith in their lives. Moving forward, stimulated by faith. You say, God, how would you have me to get involved to make a difference in this next 12 months? A part of your work should be you find one person this year, one person this year. And you will take that one person and invest in that one person. Focus in that one person. Oh, you'll touch many others, but your focus is going to be to see another growing Christian sitting next to you 1 year from now. Start praying. Say, God, give me a name. God, give me a burden. God, give me insight. Give me a connect. And you would be amazed at how God brings that person across your pathway and how that person and in that state will be there for you to take and train. That's a lot of effort. Then, fourthly, as we come to a conclusion here, prepared an ark to the saving of his house by the which he condemned the world. In that I see witness. In this little verse on faith, I see Noah's witness to the world. Noah's obedience to God put the world in the wrong. Noah's getting up every day. Noah's working with his boys every day was putting the world in the wrong because he was obeying God by faith. His work became a witness, and that condemned the world. When you determine to trust God by faith, even though the promises that you hear and the promises that you claim are not fulfilled, when you study the rest of Hebrews chapter 11, you realize many died never having received the promise. But without them, we are not made perfect. That body will not be complete until they are brought in and they see the fulfillment of that promise. 1 John 5:5, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And we say, Lord, how am I going to live my life? In my opinion, apologetics is in two categories. One is Christian evidences, and the other is actual Christian apologetic. 1 Peter 3:15, to give an answer. Christian evidence does not offend the rational mind. That is, a prophecy was made, prophecy fulfilled. Go to Israel, an archaeological dig in one of the tells, they comes up with evidence that the story that is given about Jericho is right on target. Or that this is a, that does not offend a rational mind. That's a Christian evidence. What offends a rational mind is the fact of our apologetic by faith. When Paul was on Mars Hill, they were fine when he was quoting Erethes and Cleanthes, these Greek poets in whom we live and move and have our being. But then when he touched on that which demanded faith, the robes were torn and the dirt was flying because he touched upon that which demanded faith. Could not accept that. And those who would walk by faith and live by faith have characteristically been hated by the world. But you know what's amazing to me? That those simpletons who live their apologetic put the world in the wrong. I'll give you an excellent case in point. In Acts chapter 5, you don't need to turn there, but there was a fellow named Gamaliel. Who was Gamaliel? Rabbinical teacher, he was a doctor of law. Paul sat at his feet, and he was known as the reference point when you had questions that came up. Pentecost takes place, 3,000 people saved and baptized, the church begins to scatter. And as the church begins to scatter, the gospel is being preached, persecution begins. And then more people are saved. Well, what happened? These Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes and those who were experts in this aspect of Phariseeism came to Gamaliel and said, Gamaliel, we need to do something because this is getting out of hand. How did Gamaliel answer? Gamaliel said, obviously, a doctor of law, he's going to go back. Okay, let's look at case studies. Okay, you remember when Thutis came along, that crew came along, and Thutis got him a big following. There was a big hullabaloo for a while, and then soon Thutis and that crew disappeared. Then Judas of Galilee comes along, and he gets this big following, and there's a big hullabaloo about Judas of Galilee, and they came to naught. And then he warned them, he says, be careful. Be careful. What you do regarding these. What Gamaliel was telling him, what you're seeing now is nothing like you've ever seen before. And he said, if, and in Greek there's a first, second, third class condition, and a on plus a subjunctive is the mode of doubt. In other words, highly unlikely. And I looked this up. I haven't found this in a commentary, and I hope I'm not stretching this, and I hope I'm not giving too much weight to this. And I looked at, I thought, every time I see if, I always look and see what class condition is it. Well, the first one here is if this be of men, aeon subjunctive. In other words, he's saying what we're seeing now, highly unlikely that this is of men. But if, aeon, it's a plus the indicative, the second if, which could be translated since. If this be of God, you cannot stop this or you will be fighting against God himself. And I wonder if Paul had gone to him and says, what do you think about this? I think Paul's anger was building, his conviction was deepening. And I wonder if he and Gamaliel had not communicated at some point, and Paul may have even seen Gamaliel weakening regarding this way. Don't know, but I know one thing. Paul was revved up by the time he got to Damascus. so revved up and so angry. And Jesus said, why are you kicking so hard against these goads? Because Paul was more than casually upset. Galilean fishermen putting the most intelligent man in the world in the wrong because they were living their apologetic. Simple Christians living their apologetic by faith will put the world in the wrong, but it may take time to prove it. But you can't weaken. You cannot lessen your commitment. And in this I see a witness to them. When people see you in a commitment to see the gospel be spread, you by that activity are putting them in the wrong, even though for a period of time it may be proven to be discouraging. But then I see the last thing here. I see the wages. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Wage number one, the household was spared. You remember when God told Noah, Noah, enter thou and thy family into the ark. Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1. You can imagine what was going on in the whole context of that time. You can imagine the conversations that were going on by those in the world at that time. I know in the mainland United States have these groups of retirees, and they gather every morning about 6:30 or 7 o'clock to solve world issues. So our hats are way back on the back of their head, the pressure's off, and they said, I'll tell you what, if I was president, and I'm thinking, president, you barely made it at Chrysler, give me a break. Now imagine, they see these timbers going by, and then one day, finally, animals are going by, all organized. And they're thinking, where are they coming from? I mean, they seem to be organized. Who's order, setting that whole thing up? They go up into the ark. Things are a little bit weird. 120 years after the fact. Now, God says, Noah, enter you and your family into the ark. Okay, now the world is gathering. I'm sure there were cat callers. Hey, Noah! You ever hear cat? Hey, Noah! They have a little gargle in their throat. Hey, what are you doing in there? They go up the ramp. They go in. Everything's kind of quiet. Boom. The door closes. You're thinking, this is weird. This is weird. Noah, when's it going to rain? I thought we were going to be buried in water. And then there's a drip and a rumble and then a soaking. And I think the Hebrew word is uh-oh. Uh-oh. That nut was right. That nut was right. Was it possible for any of them in that state to cry out to God in repentance at that point? I don't know. But I know one thing. God kept his word. Noah functioned by faith. Wage number one saved his household. Wage number two became the heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. Never two plans of salvation, always one plan of salvation. You're saved by grace through faith. And we find the promise, cast not away your confidence. Noah's stock was floating high when the world was in liquidation. That's how we live. Some of you remember the 2004 Summer Olympics back in Athens, and there was the marathon race, which was run originally in Athens. When the message was given, 26.2 miles, coming back, a message of victory, that became the race called the marathon. Vanderlei de Lima, a runner from Brazil, was well ahead. 3 miles left to go in the race. Arms thrust in the air, as you remember him running and people cheering him along the way. He knew he had his gold medal won. Very, very unlikely anybody could catch him in that last 3 miles. And we saw the replay over and over and over again. You remember that crazy man came out of the crowd and grabbed Vanderlei de Lima, dragged him off the course into the crowd. He was fighting to get loose, and people finally helped free this man and with his grip on Vanderlei de Lima. And Vanderlei got back out on the track. He had been passed by Baldini from Italy, passed by another guy. Baldini won the gold. This other guy won the silver. But Vanderlei de Lima became the most well-known ever bronze medal winner because he got blindsided and just didn't quit. You know, you may be running this race of life and you'll get broadsided by something. Is that going to shake your confidence in God? You say, well, I'm living by faith and all I ever do is get slammed and banged. And is that going to shake your confidence in God? Well, if this is how God's going to deal, will that shake your confidence in God? Or does it give you a greater view and cause greater worship for the awesomeness of your God? By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness which is by faith.
Thank you for joining us for Building Great Leaders today. Dr. Les Olala speaking on the essence of faith. This program is a ministry of Building Great Leaders, providing instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders, and is produced by Harvest Ministries on Guam. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Join us again for more teaching from the Word of God next time on Building Great Leaders.